Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Inside Right. You're back, John Beach. How many times?
The panic button's been pushed.
The panic, well, not really today. I did, you know, this was planned to get you on today.
I'm a Wish.com guest.
Because we got a few announcements.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you know what?
There's a lot going on behind the scenes at the moment.
Yeah.
You were planned today. Now, beforehand, episode 7.
Can't talk about your sister, but anyway, go on.
Episode 7, that wasn't planned, but episode 9 was planned to have you on. So you're on. Announcement-wise.
Yep.
Let's talk about it. Running with the Bull. We did touch on that. Do we want to talk about this?
I got the approval for... I just had to get some content approved.
Yeah.
That content had to... Oh, sorry to start again. So I'm a little bit not...
He's not well.
Under the weather today.
I'm not well. So Isaac's not here today, so I'm producing and talking.
So, yeah. So what was the question?
The question was running with the Bull.
Yeah, so the content's been approved, and we will be launching probably... Wow, maybe Wednesday this week.
Wednesday or Thursday this week. Fantastic. Episode
with our first guest, with Mark Kaplan,
the
owner and founder of Tribe Social Fitness, good mate of mine, and one of the best business people I know. So, yeah, excited. A new podcast really shining a light on some of the best small to medium-sized enterprises, companies, businesses that no one's ever heard of, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, they've heard of them, but you know, there's great stories behind them. Yeah. You know, real stories of leadership, and it's I'm just excited.
Hard work and never giving up.
Yeah, the small person story, right? I mean, you've listened to them, right?
Yeah. It's not a Gary Vee or a Guzman Gomez.
No, it's as much as I'd love to interview Stephen Marks or Gary Vee or, you know, these guys, but you know, at the end of the day, they're probably not accessible to me. And I exist in a world that's about small business and growth and leadership and entrepreneurialism and building shit from the ground up.
Making a difference.
Yeah. Excuse me. And making a difference. So I'm really excited. Whether or not people want to listen to it, I guess we'll find out.
We'll promote the shit out of it.
But I'm enjoying it too, right? It's not just about that. It's about shining a light and obviously the purpose of the podcast, but it's also about me doing something for fun.
Yeah,
that's a bit outside of you know, my playing career in sports is finished, obviously, a long time ago. And so outside of work, you know, I follow you guys around on the weekends, but it's nice to have my own kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you also see it as a source of reflection? You know, you have someone on you've known most of the time for 5-10 years.
Yeah.
And you get to talk about their story, but in a more calmer way, you know.
Yeah, because you never actually talk about those things when you're with them, right?
100%. You know? So it's all bang, bang, bang.
And obviously I've used a lot of my business advisory clients in the first, not all, but
I've sprinkled them around the first season,
which is 8 parts long. But yeah, it's that, and it's also an opportunity for me to work with you, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and,
it's fun.
You know, not many,
blood,
I guess,
sweat and tears sometimes.
You know, most 17-year-old boys have, and by the way, I'm going to preface what I'm about to say by saying there is nothing wrong with this at all.
Yeah.
But most 17-year-olds are currently earning their crust, you know, in supermarkets or working at Macca's or whatever it is, and you've chosen a different path. And so far, so good.
Yeah.
And I want to be, I guess, the pilot for you to show people that you can help them. Podcasts are an amazing way to get your message out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to show people that what's possible.
100% agree.
A bit of an advertisement for what. the podcast side of the business for JBA, aka Project Beach Productions.
Studios, actually.
We had to line up the name branding stuff there, but you know what I mean. Anyway, let's talk about football.
Hang on. We've got a few announcements. Okay. Speaking of Project Beach Studios, we're actually going to Liverpool podcast studios. UK confirmed.
Outside the Shankly Gates.
We are going to Liverpool, the UK, to record.
I hear the cop bites. Sorry.
Now, I've realised this when I edit with reels and stuff, because I want, when someone's talking, you want it just the camera pan to them, and then the next person speaks. When I do it with you, I can't do it, because there's two people talking at once.
Because we're bantering.
Anyway.
It's because we're too similar. Now.
3 episodes in the UK.
Yes.
Liverpool, not saying who they are, John Beach.
I won't say who they are. What I will say, though, is this. We have rented, we've booked hired space in the Liverpool podcast studios, downtown Liverpool on Friday.
Liverpool
on Friday, I can't remember what the date is, but it's the Friday we're there.
27th
of October, which is just a few, 3 weeks away. Wow. And we've got two guests at this stage. Yeah. And they're both, I'm going to say they're both big names in terms of Liverpool Football Club without actually being ex-players or managers.
Yep.
Well, no, sorry, that's totally not true.
No.
No, let me rephrase that.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Sorry, one of them is an ex-player. Yeah. I mean, but I guess what
the other one isn't.
I was talking about the, like if I was to list a, in most people's minds, they may not know who this person is off the top of their head.
Yeah.
Unless they're absolute fanatics, right? Yeah. So that's what I was trying to say. It's like we haven't got John Barnes and we haven't got
Stevie G
or anyone like that. They're all busy. Probably making money in Saudi. Yeah. So, but we've done really well and I'm really excited for both of them because they're both going to shine a light on different parts. One I'm excited
100%.
About. 100%. One I'm excited about because I can't say it, can I?
Yeah.
One I'm excited about because this person.
You're terrible at this.
This person was one of the best ever strikers for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
The second reason, the second guest, I'm excited for you. More than me.
Okay.
I mean, I'm excited for me, but I'm more excited for you because of your path in life and what you love.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for you to meet this person. Yeah.
Well, I remember a few weeks ago, I told you I was going to email this guy and you laughed it off and said, if you could do that, that'd be great. As if he's going
to reply to you, you know.
And then he replied and
I know.
Here we go. We're
hopefully it shows up. Otherwise, we're going to be wish.com guest times.
Panic button, John Beach for panic three button. UK episodes.
We're travelling with some good friends, both of which are Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
So
one plays in the NPL, by the way.
One plays in the NPL, and the other one used to play in the NPL. There you go.
There you go.
So,
we could say their names.
We're travelling with Andrew and Ted.
Yep.
And so it could be three episodes. I'm a guest. Ted's a guest. And Andrew's a guest. No, I hope they show up.
I hope they show up.
But I hope they show up.
No, it'll all be good. And the last announcement of today. Today's episode, a bit different. It's sponsored by...
We have a sponsor.
Jarritos.
Jarritos.
I hope I'm pronouncing that. I know I'm pronouncing it. And it's not J in Spain. It's H. Jarritos.
Can I pass me one?
Of course. Something I... prepared earlier.
Now, have you got something to open?
I do, tasty? Actually. I've got something to...
Now, what flavours have we got here? Now, it's up to you. We've got... have the grapefruit, I think.
And I'll have guava.
All right. Thank you.
So that... Sorry, I should have
opened it. Jarritos. My favourite's Mexican soft drink.
You've tried these before, I'm assuming.
Yeah, these are all over Guzman Gomez and other Mexican places I've been to. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks. So what's the guy's name at Jarritos? Who you got in contact with?
It's the legend. The man, the myth, the legend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Jarritos. And he's been, these guys have been making products since 1950. Yep. So for 73 years, this has been the most popular soda.
Mexican drink.
Mexican soda. And cheers.
Mexican soda, yeah. Now we can talk about proper football. Okay. I'm not sure if you saw this. First of all, do you like it?
I do. I've got a question for you.
I know you don't really like sweet stuff, so I wasn't 100% sure.
It's sweet, but it's very nice. I love the grapefruit flavour, natural flavours.
Yeah,
see,
it's good.
Favorite ever Mexican player?
Oh,
favorite. Where's his favorite ever Mexican player?
God, Ochoa.
Ochoa.
Yeah, the goalkeeper.
Yes, the guy that wished to wear all the kits. Is he the guy that wore all the
He's great. Like. I gotta say, like, because obviously football starts at a young age, right? And I remember the 2014 and 18 World Cups.
Yeah.
You know, watching him play. Obviously, he's not the greatest goalkeeper of all time, or you know, you wouldn't put him in that conversation. But he gave everything for his country, and I really respect that. So Ochoa, my favorite. However,
he still plays, right? He's a captain of the Mexican team.
Yes.
And plays in the Serie A.
Yes.
There you go.
I also have got a soft spot for Raul Jimenez, and I think it's really unfortunate what happened to him with his head injury because he was a player, and he still is, but he's got to pick up the form again.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Raul Jimenez as well.
There was another goalkeeper back probably before your time, a guy called Jorge Campos, and he was an amazing footballer, and he was in the... in the World Cup for multiple World Cups. And he was really eccentric and he used to wear all these amazing outfits.
Yeah.
But he also scored 48 goals in his career.
As a goalkeeper.
As a goalkeeper.
Because he took the pens and free kicks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was amazing. And there's another guy who was actually a Colombian goalkeeper.
And is he the one against England that did that?
No, he was Guetta, or what his name is. No, that wasn't him. It was another guy. I'll find out his name. But, okay. But mate, no, mine...
South American goalkeepers.
There was a striker they used to have called Hugo Sanchez. Mm. And he was my favourite Mexican player. Anyway, cheers to Jarritos. Thanks for the sponsorship, guys.
Yep.
And Wes has got his first sponsor. Congratulations.
There we go. Making things happen. Speaking of South America, let's talk about the 2030 World Cup hosts. We have Spain, Portugal, and Morocco. However, the first three opening games are being played in Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay because of the 100th anniversary of the FIFA World Cup, which all started in Uruguay when they won it in 1930. Thoughts on that? So the World Cup's getting hosted in between Morocco and Africa, and right next to it, their neighbours, Spain and Portugal in Europe. But the first three opening games, you're in South America.
Yep.
Thoughts on that?
Look, I've read a bit this week about it. And people getting all pissed off, and it's all like, oh, it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, no one's complained about Canada, Mexico and America hosting the World Cup, right?
You know, big travel. You've got to think of the fans, right? They set up camp. And imagine if the Socceroos opening game was in
I don't mind that. Argentina. I mean, it gives people in Argentina a chance to get to the World Cup too.
Yeah.
So
you don't hate it?
I don't hate it. I mean, it's tipping
the hat. You don't think it's a money thing?
It may be.
Of course it's a money thing, but...
That guy, there was Paris, he wasn't Colombian, he was Paraguayan. His name was Jose Chilavert, and he was a left-footed... guy took free kicks. Amazing, amazing goalkeeper. Anyway.
Yeah, well, Paraguay are hosting one of the games.
So, I don't hate it. It's in Morocco, Portugal and...
Spain.
And Spain. I mean, Spain's got some amazing...
stadiums.
Amazing stadiums, right? So, you've got Santiago Bernabeu, you've got the Camp Nou.
They'll be finished, obviously.
Not the new camps, the Camp Nou.
The Camp Nou now.
And the Camp Nou and...
However, it will be the new camp soon.
Yeah, it'll be the new Camp Nou. So, look, exciting. Morocco, I mean, we've been to Morocco.
Unbelievable.
Morocco's
place.
A fantastic country. I can't wait for
games
that.
Games in Marrakesh, Casablanca.
As a person who wants to, if I think about the next World Cup, I'm super excited, right? Mexico, Canada, America.
Great World Cup.
Tick, we're going. And I think about the one after that.
Fantastic.
And I think, great, we're going.
Madrid, Barca, Lisbon, Marrakesh.
Well, the first couple of games in Uruguay, but I'm happy for the Uruguayans and the Argentinians that they get to do that, right?
I'm going to see if we can get one of our Uruguayan friends on next week, by the way.
And I think that what will happen is that Saudi will probably get the next one.
Well, Australia and Saudi are the two countries wanting it.
Yeah, look, do you think Australia... Can actually...
Oh, no, they can't compare with the money.
They can't compare with the money, right? So if FIFA makes a decision based upon what's right for the world, they'll come to Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
Not often FIFA do that, right? So you spilled your details.
Seriously, what's...
Anyway.
Yeah. So
that's my thoughts.
Yeah. So good World Cup, amazing, and you're fine with the South American trio of the opening games.
I just think people like to get a bit excited about things, you know.
Fair enough.
I'm not excited about how many teams are in the World Cup.
Yeah. How many? 48?
That's a good question.
I think 48. It's 48,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
Isn't that 104 games?
I love it. Commercially, it's going to be a huge success, but I just don't want to see huge disparities. If Brazil play the Philippines.
You see it, and
I guess, but then there's the other argument that says that in rugby right now, for example, it used to be like the All Blacks would beat Japan by 90 points and shit 20, 30 years ago. And now they're actually quite competitive. So maybe there's a story there that says that you can't get as good as them unless you get exposure to that level of competition.
Yeah, well, I think here's an idea. I saw this on social media as a laugh, but the shit World Cup.
Yeah.
And it's the 32 shittest teams in the world battle it off for the shit World Cup. So we have New Caledonia against Palestine.
I just don't think there's going to be the money to support that.
Did you know there's a thing called the FIFA Beach World Cup?
No.
2025, Seychelles.
Wow.
Boom.
That's cool.
The Beach World Cup.
I always wanted to
it's
go to
football
the Seychelles.
On the
Do you know where the Seychelles are?
Yeah, it's an island in Africa on the east coast.
East coast of Africa. Well done.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. Should we talk about Champions League?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Champions League. Now, obviously, I think the big talking point this week when it comes to Champions League football is Newcastle PSG. Newcastle, first time in the Champions League in a long time, since Alan Shearer.
Yep, Shearer.
4-1. They beat PSG 4-1. Kylian Mbappe is not a happy boy right now.
Amazing.
I think, off the top of my head, Almiron scored, Dan Byrne scored, Longstaff scored, and Fabian Schär scored. Yep. So that's two defenders scoring those goals. Yep. Almiron with the opener. Thoughts on that game, John Beach?
Well, I thought it was quite funny on Twitter, or X, whatever they call it now. Lons beat Arsenal. Lons, yep. And on their Twitter account, they wrote Farmers League, or something to do with Farmers League.
Yeah.
And then the next game was Newcastle beating PSG.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, right, like PSG have been amazing, you know, like, sorry, PSG have advanced themselves to the, at least I think, the quarterfinals of the Champions League in the last few years.
No, they've made a final.
Yeah. So you know what I'm saying? I said at least the quarterfinal.
At least, right? Sorry, yeah.
So if you think about that, but they also had some incredible players, right? Yeah. And you can argue that they were at the wrong end of their
career
or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, you're talking about players who like Neymar, Messi, Mbappe,
Zlatan,
Di Maria. Yeah, guys like this, Ramos, you know. So if you look at the French league table right now, PSG are running fifth. So
how many games?
Seven games in, they're running fifth.
Yeah, wow.
Now, again, all jokes about Farmers Leagues aside and stuff, is it a surprise that a team running fifth in La Liga, sorry, not La Liga, in League One, is got beaten by Newcastle, who are, you know, one of the better teams now in the Premier League?
Yeah, going into the game, I didn't think it would be a massive surprise. I thought the game would be closer than what it was. I was expecting something like a 2-2, or maybe Newcastle got a historic win, but not 4-1, not like an absolute thrashing.
Newcastle are very powerful at home.
Yeah, St. James.
You know, I mean, that side of Hakimi and that side of Hakimi and Mbappe, who are the best players in PSG?
Well, they just bought Ousmane Dembele. They've just bought Asensio.
Yeah.
Donnarumma, their goalkeeper.
But these guys got let go by Madrid and Barcelona, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're good players. Don't get me wrong, they're great players, but like,
never reached their full potential, maybe.
Dembele's been a bit part player for Barcelona, and same with Asensio.
Yep.
So I just think that, you know, if you're getting let go by guys like that, then, you know, I'm not knocking them. I mean, but they never. They went for the, they took them, PSG, you know, tried to create a Man City.
A super team.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But they just didn't have enough patience. And they tried, it's ridiculous. They had Neymar, Messi and Mbappe. But it's not about the best players, it's about the best teams. And I look at Newcastle and what they've massively overachieved. And I think they'll not reach the heights of last year, I don't think, in the Premier League this year. But with Almiron and the other guy who you like, what's the Brazilian?
Bruno Guimarães.
Guimarães. You know, they've got. If those guys stay fit, you know, they'll be good. But
they've also got Gordon too, and Isaac. You know, they've got a bit of depth in that team.
They're good players, but are they starting for City or Liverpool?
No.
You know?
But that's not the point.
No, but
I'm... Great team. Yeah.
St. James's Park is a fortress. You've been there. It's bloody amazing.
Massive.
Right? And so for me, am I surprised by it? No, I'm not, because I don't think PSG are the team anywhere near the team they were.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, well. You look at West Ham last season, they won the Conference League and they went... No.
Sorry, I remember...
That's not the point. The point is they won a European trophy and they were terrible for their standards in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I can see the exact same thing happening. I think Newcastle could have quite a good run in the Champions League Or if they finish third in the group in the Europa League, I think they'll go quite well in Europe, and they will be a bit poor for their standards in the Premier League. I can see that happening.
Well, I think, I mean, they massively overperformed last year, right? I got two superstars in Almiron and Gomez.
Isak? Come on.
Isak's a good young player, right?
You've seen his assists from Everton. He's come a long
way, man. He's got a long way to go. Like, he's a good young player. I'm not saying he's not a bad player.
How old's Almiron?
He's a good young player. But what I'm saying is that, you know, you've also got Sean Longstaff. You know, you've got...
Trippier.
Good player, Kieran Trippier. You know, end of his career.
Nick Pope, great goalkeeper.
Yeah, look, they're all solid, mate. Yeah. I'm not saying they're all solid footballers. You know, Anthony Gordon, solid footballer. You know, but he's not getting. You know, is Anthony Gordon Scottish or English?
Gordon, English.
Yeah, he's not getting picked for England, is he? You know what I mean?
He's young, 20. I'll disagree with you there. I think he will get picked for England.
Well, I think if he does what Trent does and stop trying to look like a Backstreet Boy, he's probably got a chance of. He's probably got a chance of making it. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Manchester United, Galatasaray.
Yes.
That's Chelsea, by the way.
Yep.
Galatasaray beating Manchester United at Old Trafford 3-2. Icardi scoring a goal to the win up for Galatasaray. Is Erik ten Hag in big, big trouble?
Big question. Well, I'm surprised you brought up this game, really.
Why?
Well, it was no great surprise, the result.
No, it is. It's a big talking point. We need to talk about this because they lost to Palace at home. They lost to Galatasaray at home. Now they got Brentford at home. If they lose to Brentford at home, that's three consecutive Old Trafford losses.
Man United are 10th in the Premier League at the present time. They've lost three of their last five games.
Yep.
They're in big trouble, mate. They're in big trouble. They've only got 9 points.
Do you think they have the quality
seven games
to do well?
Mate, I think the problems at United are... I read this morning that someone said, Mark Goldberg said that...
Do you mean Mark Goldbridge?
Yeah, it's him.
That's him?
Goldberg's a referee, isn't he?
Yep.
Mark Goldberg said that, you know, you could bring in...
love to have him on.
Yeah. He could bring in Carlo Ancelotti or anyone. They're not going to be able to fix the problems of United. I don't necessarily agree with that because I think if Pep had the team, they'd be performing, or Jurgen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, or for that matter, Ange. Tip of my hat.
Big Ange.
Oh, no, Ange will never coach Man United.
No.
I don't know Ange.
With Pep and Jurgen.
Yeah, but I can see Ange coaching Liverpool, but not United.
Angefield.
Love it. Anyway, back to the point at hand. The problem at United is in the top, is in the ownership. They are not investing in the club. They've got a dilapidated stadium. It's a terrible place. I've been there. When you consider what City have got, what Liverpool are doing, what the big clubs around Europe or Barcelona are doing, what Tottenham have done.
Arsenal.
You know, it's disgraceful, and they're just not investing in their future. So my problem with it is that when you got that, it's very hard for Ten Hag. Now, I think that's too big a job for him. You know, I think Ajax is an amazing club. It's a huge, you know, Ajax. What's Ajax known for?
Young talent.
Winning a couple of Champions Leagues back in the day. It had that amazing team with, you know, Overmars and Rijkaard and all those, you know, all those guys. The Dutch players, obviously, but they were basically an academy, right? You know, you think about Zlatan, you think about Suarez, these guys coming out of Ajax, and they've been great. That's how they make money. You know what I mean? That's how they do it. So, and he won, you know, the Eredivisie, fantastic.
I think he won a couple of cup competitions by memory. Yeah.
And that's good, man. And he's obviously a good coach. You know, I'm not knocking it.
Yeah.
But is he big enough to go to United? You know, it's just Louis van Gaal Mark II.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. Louis van Gaal
and I don't know what their win percentages is, you know, after... What I do know is they should have stuck with David Moyes.
Yeah, okay.
They should have stuck with David Moyes, in my opinion. I'm not a huge fan of David Moyes either, but no. I think that, you know, at least I just think that I don't think that if you don't have a manager with a big enough presence to command a dressing room in the way that Pep Jürgen, Ange,
Mikel Arteta, if you've seen the documentary.
Sure. Arteta. You know,
Sean Dyche.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, if you're talking about commanding dressing rooms, I can imagine he's got a loud voice. He looks
angry, but I don't know whether, you know what I mean. Like, I can't speak to that. But
yeah,
all I'm saying is that it's about having a presence, right?
Yeah,
and about the ability to lead people.
Yeah,
and you know, I don't know. I've not listened to his team talks, but clearly the way he's handling Jadon Sancho, you know, which is,
it's a bit childish, if you ask me.
Yeah,
you're the manager of Manchester United.
Yeah,
and you're asking to the media for Sancho to give you an apology.
I just don't think you throw your players under the bus.
No.
Now, what I would have done, and what I think most people would have done, would have grabbed him, got him in a room, said exactly what I want to say to you. Publicly, I would have backed him.
Yeah.
But I would have told him what my expectations were around his standards,
yeah,
and what we needed from him. Don't bag him publicly and say his standards aren't there in training. There's no way. There's no coming back from that.
Yeah,
you know, he's never going to forgive you for that, and that's what's going to happen. He's going to end up back in somewhere else, or in Germany.
Like at Dortmund.
I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Or a new coach is going to come into United, and then he might feel differently.
That's the question, though. Who?
Oh man. Well, I like this idea of a loan deal between Pochettino and Ten Hag.
The manager swap.
Yeah, the manager. Well, why don't players do it?
Yeah, okay. Manager swap. Pochettino to Manchester United and Conte Eric Ten Hag. And Mourinho. Well, sorry, we've all got a bit of Ange Posta conflict at the moment. Ange fever. I want to talk briefly about Copenhagen, Bayern Munich. 2-1 win to Bayern Munich. They've gone 36 games unbeaten in a row in the UCL group stage. What a fact.
Mate, they're an unbelievable team, you know? They're a great team. They're well coached.
Yeah,
they're well in a great coached. League. They've just bought the best striker in England, you know, to replace Lewandowski.
And they won a season without Lewandowski.
Like for like too, right? I mean, you could argue that possibly Kane's more creative than Lewandowski. But, you know, great team.
Scores goals.
Like, pulls goals.
Yeah. Napoli, Real Madrid, Bellingham.
Yeah.
He is taking that team on his back, in a way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, mate, the thing that scares the shit out of me about Madrid is how good they're going to be when Mbappe gets there. And they're going to have Vinicius Jr., they're going to have Mbappe, they're going to have Valverde, they're going to have
Rodrigo. Bellingham. Modric.
We're going to have, well, Modric might have left by then, but Modric will probably be in Miami or Saudi by then. But they've got these young, they've got the four or five players that every year are conceptually the Ballon d'Or winner.
Yep.
Then one team.
Yep.
Scary.
Yep, very scary. Especially if they, if the reports are right and they could also get Victor Osimhen. Then it's Osimhen, Mbappe and Vinicius Jr.
And it's all bad news for United, right? Because they're all in Group A, so you've got Bayern and Galatasaray that are going to get through in that group. United will come back into the Europa League. Which would be good, right? Because I'd love to have Liverpool United in the Europa League. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty cool.
Group B, that's going to be an interesting group. You've got Sevilla, they've been so good in the Europa League for so long, right?
Yeah.
Like they just,
I think they got seven Europa Leagues.
Yeah, I mean, they just, it's an amazing town too, like Seville. So, interesting. Arsenal get out of the group. Who goes? It'll be Seville or Lons that go with them. I guess there's a lot to play for there. Hard to see anyone but Real Madrid or Napoli getting out of Group C. Group D, Benfica lost their first two games, right? So, you've got Sociedad and Inter. I'll stick with that. Group E, Atletico, Lazio. I can't see Celtic or final getting out of that group.
No, I can't see that either.
Especially at the back of the first couple of games. Now, the next group's really interesting because you look at, you know, Dortmund and Milan haven't had a great start. Interesting. That's still wide open. Group G will be United City and Leipzig. I can't see Young Boys or the Kravenza getting out of the group.
Good pronunciation, by the way.
Thank you. I've been working on my Polish or whatever they are. Group H, last group. Pretty hard to see anyone but Barcelona and Porto getting out of that. So
yep, I agree with you. Antwerp?
Yeah, good for diamonds, but diamonds are not forever.
Also, let's talk about something. Europa League team, I don't know the team, but they're Faroese. They're from the Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
And they're in the Europa League. That's pretty cool. Type it up, see what the club's called.
Well, I don't want to know what you call someone from the Faroe Islands.
I think they're called
Faroese.
I think it's Faroese.
I want to hear about what do you call.
I could be wrong, but I think I'm right.
Are they Faroesians?
Faroesians? No, I think it's Faroese.
What do you call someone from the Faroe Islands?
Faroese.
Faroese. There you go.
The Faroese. There you go. And the population of the Faroe Islands, I think, is 50,000 people.
Yeah. And most of them are Danish. Most of them are Danish citizens. You know
yeah.
that?
There yeah. you go. Very cool. But they're in the Europa League. What an experience for that town.
Name three great.
Can't tell you.
Three great Danish.
Faroe Islands.
Danish players.
Three great Danish players yeah. on the spot right now.
Yeah.
Christian Eriksen.
Thank you.
That's one. Let's go Danish. Having a mind blank. Why am I having a mind blank?
What about Peter Schmeichel?
Oh, shit.
Ooh, Kasper Schmeichel.
I'm all over the joint today.
Michael Laudrup, John Dahl Thomason.
Yeah.
Morten Olsen. But what about Jan Mulby?
Alan, let's just talk about the fact you've got a computer in front of you.
Jan Mulby.
And you looked at me like I was in trouble and said, yes, but Olsen. Name three Danish players.
Thomas Gravesen. Jan Mulby, for me, we won't bang on about old Liverpool players today, but man, he was a player.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I got a shirt with his name on the back. Mulby.
Let's do it.
Three managers next to get sacked. We haven't done that with you in a while. Now, you don't have to give me three.
Was I accurate last time?
Oh, you've always been quite accurate when I've asked you this question. It's two out of three or something. Yeah, I remember once.
I'm getting paid now by Premier League managers not to mention their name in this podcast.
Bruno Lage, remember that? And the day later, he got sacked.
Yeah, he wasn't Bruno Lage anymore.
No.
It's Bruno Small.
Next three managers to get sacked in the Premier League.
So for me, when you sack a manager, it's not necessarily about just the table position. It's about how they're performing in relation to the expectation.
Yeah.
So you can look at, you know, let's look at mid-table here and say Brighton. They're over, are Man City overperforming or underperforming at the moment?
Under.
Slightly, because they've lost one game. So they're underperforming.
Two.
But they're there or thereabouts, right?
Yeah.
Tottenham overperforming. Arsenal standard, Liverpool standard, Villa overperforming, Brighton overperforming, West Ham, you know. So you start to get into this middle and you go, okay, so who are the... There's two big teams here, United and Chelsea, that are massively underperforming.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just park them for a second, then look at the other end of the table, and you go, if you're Sheffield United, did you really think you're going to stay up?
No.
So therefore, if you knew that going in, and you got a great manager, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's a great manager, I'm just saying, you know, maybe he's a good manager, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then... would you be happy to take him down with you? You know what I mean? Like, keep him?
And, yeah.
You know, so I think Bournemouth, I call him the Spanish waiter. But I can't remember his name. I'm going to Google it.
The Spanish waiter.
I call him, he looks like the guy off an old TV show who was a Spanish waiter. Anyway, so I'm going to say that the next three to be sacked are as follows. I'm trying to look up the Spanish waiter. I think the next three managers to be sacked are going to be Erik ten Hag.
Wow. And when?
He probably won't. They're going to need time.
After the international break?
Look, who are United got this week? Brentford?
Brentford.
Away?
At home.
All right. If they lose to Brentford at home, he goes.
Wow.
He goes. Okay. They have to. They can't, man. Come on.
Yeah.
But if they lose to Brentford at home, they'll be in what position on the table? You know, like it's, you know, they could be down
definitely
to,
second half of the
they
table.
They could be down to, I mean, if Chelsea get up and Forest get up and Fulham get up and Brentford, they'll be jumped by Brentford. They could be down 15th place.
Yeah.
No. They could be bordering relegation.
Yeah, no.
You know, so I think that he's had the problems, as I say, with Sancho. I'll get rid of him.
Fair enough. Is that all?
No, I'm just saying that he's the first one. I think Pochettino's smart enough to get himself out of this.
Okay.
He's got players, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just about using them, right? Yeah.
And he's realised that, you know, sorry, I'm Nicholas Jackson. I'm for real.
Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah. He's got players who they've bought, the manager's just bought because he liked the name or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, not the manager, the owner.
Yeah, Todd Bowley.
So, but I think he's got enough talent to get out of it.
Yeah.
Now, Forrest has always shown that they've shown their mettle in the past with Steve Cooper. There was a point last year where he could have got sacked and he wasn't, so he's not going. Marco Silva, people tend to like him. Longest Fulham stay a couple of points above.
Roy Hudson's doing well. No, Roy ish.
I mean, you're probably not going to, you're going to sack Roy.
No.
You know, he's sort of Palace through and through. And you look at Crystal Palace and you go, Crystal Palace are in ninth place.
Yeah.
Well,
doing well.
That's massive.
That's overperforming.
That's overperforming. That's what I'm saying. Wolves, they change their managers like they change their underwear. So,
Gary O'Neill, I think.
Brentford's safe. Luton, if they sack the manager, did Luton seriously think they're going to stay up? I don't think they're going to stay
up. I think they're overperforming. There you go.
But what I'm saying is I think they're...
4 points, right?
Yeah. I think they're going to get hammered by Spurs tonight. Hammered.
Are we calling don't Captain Haaland in your fantasy team Captain Son?
Or you doggy?
Nah, hey. Captain Son. Hat trick.
Yeah.
Guarantee it. Yeah. I'm captaining Son, not Haaland this round.
If you think about it, I mean, Vincent Kompany's looking, to be honest with you. I know he's had some tough
games. A bit shaky.
So, Ten Hag, the Spanish waiter from Bournemouth, and they should never have gotten rid of old mate, the guy they got rid of, the English guy. Come on.
Gary O'Neill.
Yeah. They should
he's
never
at Wolves now.
Yeah, they should never got rid of Gary O'Neill. So, I'm going to say the Spanish waiter, Eric Ten Hag, and I'm going to say the guy from... it's hard, the third one, right? Because if Vincent Kompany loses a few more, then he could go as well.
Okay, Vincent Kompany, number three.
But Sean Dyche is, Sean Dyche for me is also another one where, he's at any given time two games away from being sacked,
Yeah.
So let me say I'm going to make a commitment, Spanish waiter, Derek Ten Hag and Vincent Kompany.
There you go. All right, let's do our score predictions for this round of the Premier League. I think, is it round nine? I think it's round nine.
Seven games, right?
Oh, I thought we had eight. Or maybe, I don't know.
No, everyone's played seven.
There you go. So it's round eight. Let's go. Quick fire-ish. I know you're going to want to talk about a few things, so do I, about Liverpool and VAR. Luton, Tottenham.
Tottenham 5-0.
I'll go Tottenham 5-0. Burnley, Chelsea.
Chelsea 2-0.
Chelsea 2-1. Everton, Bournemouth. Who cares?
What a ripping game. 1-1.
1-0 to Everton. Fulham, Sheffield.
Fulham 2-1.
Fulham 2-0. Manchester United, Brentford.
2-1.
2-2 draw. Crystal Palace, Nottingham Forest. That's an alright game.
At Selhurst?
At Selhurst.
3-2, Crystal Palace.
1-1 draw. Brighton, Liverpool.
Where is it, Amex or Anfield?
Amex.
We've had a few problems there over the years. Solly Marsh turns into...
Maradona.
Turns into Zidane every time we play them. I reckon he's a fan. I reckon he's a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
Because, when you play your team that you really like.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like when Oxlade-Chamberlain used to score a couple of goals against us.
Look, Liverpool, I'm just very confident that we've got the players now to back it up consistently.
Yeah.
I think he'll start with a really exciting midfield this week.
Yeah.
I think he'll let McAllister go a bit further forward too, by the way.
You'd hope so.
Well, against his old team, you've got to play him, right? Yeah. So for me, the midfield three is Endo, Szoboszlai and...
McAllister.
With Trent starting and cutting in. So I think it's going to be a great game. I think we're going to win 3-1.
Okay, I think we'll win 3-2. West Ham, Newcastle.
Newcastle 2-1. They'll be cock a hoop on the back of that Champions League result.
Yeah, I'm going West Ham 3-1.
There you go.
Wolves, Aston Villa.
Villa get that for me. 1-0.
I'm going 3-1 Villa. Arsenal, Manchester City. Arsenal, Man City.
That's a great game.
It's a great game.
Look, I'd like to see a draw.
I'd love to see a win to Arsenal, to be honest. Because I am confident in Liverpool overtaking Arsenal, but not Man City.
Okay, well, I'm saying a 2-2 draw.
All right, I'm going to go... you know what, I'll go 2-2 draw as well. So that is this round of the Premier League and our score predictions for it. Before we end today's episode, let's talk about the VAR decision last weekend for Luis Diaz's disallowed goal against Tottenham. Your thoughts, John Beach, on VAR?
I mean, people this week have been calling it for to go back to where it was. But I really believe that where it was, you know, there was a lot more problems back then, you know, with people just accepted them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to accept them anymore because if technology's there, you kind of got to use it.
Yeah.
They just stuffed up, you know, and as Jurgen said, they didn't mean to. They just did. Cost us 2 points. Well, 3 points, actually. We might have. So...
But do you think that's acceptable?
It's not acceptable. I'm not saying it. And then the guys are going to get accountable. And they were, it's taught them a whole lot about, you know, not letting their refs go overseas. And yeah, I'm sure. So VAR stays. I do like the idea though of a captain's challenge, which is what you brought up. And I think because you know, like the players know if they're onside, you know, like, maybe a coach's challenge, you know?
Yeah.
Because we watched that game live.
Yeah.
And what did I say to you?
It was on.
On all day, onside.
Yeah.
Just when you know, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Jurgen and those guys would have felt the same and they would have said challenge and then they would have had a good look at it properly and then the goal would have stood.
So, I agree. Yeah. And challenge rule, I think, should work like this. Everyone gets one challenge and if you get it correct, you get another one.
Yeah.
All right. So, to finish off today, before we go, describe VAR in one word. Improving. There you go. I'm going to go disgraceful. All right. Thank you for watching or listening to Inside Right Episode 9. See you next time.